It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the weekend. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. This is the Sandler Training Hour. Each week I bring you talent that I've scoured the Sandler universe to find. I have with me today Carlos Garrido. And Carlos just recently did a talk for us at one of our Sandler schools. And he was helping us understand how to craft that ultimate upfront contract so that it fits the unique communication style and motivators of your audience. So I'm really excited, Carlos, to have you share with us your insights. So let's shift gears. You've been in it, what, this is your fourth year?
We're just coming up to the end of year three. Yeah, just coming up.
And these guys are already rising stars in our world. Put the ball on the tee for us, Carlos, and tell the audience, what is an ultimate upfront contract?
Having sort of worked within the Sandler system now for 3 years, I've kind of started to hone my own process. And I think that's one of the nice things about Sandler is the mindsets, the tools, the techniques, the structure. You get given and it gets presented as a system, but it is so super flexible. This system is made for you to make it your own system. And I see that with client after client. They take our system and they make it their own. And so I think as trainers, we do the same.
Right.
It isn't a series of scripts, and it isn't like a process that has no flexibility in it. It's extraordinarily flexible.
Right.
So I think as Sandler trainers, we develop our own system. And I have my system now down to quite a fine art. I have some kind of prospecting activity, which is my step one. At the end of my prospecting activity, I set an upfront contract for the next meeting, good Sandler. I set an upfront contract for what I call a discovery meeting. In the discovery meeting, that's my step two, discovery meeting with a good upfront contract, and I'm after discovering four things. I'm there for qualification, and I'm there to discover pain, budget, decision-making process, and DISC style. This is my system. I'm not saying this works for everybody. It definitely works for me. I'm there to discover pain, money, and decision, and DISC style. And that becomes very relevant because in my step three, which is my close meeting, and it has to be an extraordinarily complex opportunity for it to be more than these three steps. Step one, prospect. Step two, discovery. Step three, close. And what I do in my then for my close is good Sandler fashion. At the end of discovery, I'll set an upfront contract for the close meeting, and I treat that as my ultimate contract. That is the contract that I put in place that's going to get to a decision and drive to a decision. It's a yes or a no decision. And I started to realize that, and it came from something Sean Coyle, and I know you know Sean Coyle, introduced at some conference. He introduced the idea that at the beginning of Sean's process, he wants no to be very easy for the client, for the prospect to say. And he wants yes to be very difficult for the prospect to say. And as you go through Sean's process, yes gets progressively easier to say and no gets progressively harder to say. And because you're qualifying, and as you get to the final end of your process, you know that you've qualified them, and no should be a hard thing to say. So I wrestled for a long time with how do I get my prospects, how does no become hard to say? Because we know in Sandler we should always go for the no.
Right.
And I do that early on. That's pure Sandler, part of the upfront contract. Hey, listen, I run a nine-step, nine-part upfront contract. It has part one, thanks, appreciation, a good stroke, that's part one. Part two is understand the time. Part three, we're going to be here for an hour together. Part three is here are the things on your agenda that we're probably going to need to cover. I think today we're going to need to cover A, B, and C. Is there anything you need to add to that list? Part four is my agenda. I want to make sure I leave this meeting with a good understanding of A, B, and C. Part five is the no. We'll have a good feeling, Mr. Prospect, by within the next hour or so as to whether we feel there's a good fit and we should should be taking it forward. If I don't think there's a good fit, I can't solve some of your issues, I'll be sure to tell you, and you make sure you tell me as well. So that's permission to say no, then we do permission to say yes, part six. Part seven is frame the yes, this is what yes looks like. Maybe it's another meeting, or maybe it is an engagement letter. Part seven is diffuse the bomb. Part seven is frame the yes. Part eight is diffuse the bomb, and part nine is ask for referrals. That's my upfront contract. I couldn't think, and no is really easy to say. I want to position no easy to say, and I couldn't fathom out how to make no hard to say. And after Sean introduced this idea of as you go through the process, no's got to get harder to say. Well, I position my no in my upfront contract, so I knew I had to make some changes to my upfront contract as we go through a process into that third step of my process, the close step. I know I wanted to make no hard to say, and I figured, and what my presentation was really about, it was about how to make no hard to say in the final throes of the process.
So can you give us an example of what would you say to make no easy to say, and then a counterpart, what would you say to make no hard to say?
Sure, I can do that. So if I am in, so I go into a discovery, one of my discovery meetings. That's step two of my process. Step one is prospecting, step two, discovery meeting. And because I only have two, after the prospecting, I've only got two steps, discovery and close, okay? In discovery, I want no to be easy to say. So I'll give you my upfront contract with it. Let's imagine, Jim, that you and I've given you a cold call, or you were a referral, and you own a business down here somewhere in Miami.
Yeah.
And I'll say to you in my upfront contract, Jim, I really appreciate the opportunity to come meet with you today and talk and find out some of the things that you're wrestling with. I've still got an hour set aside for this meeting. Are you still good for an hour? Yes, you are. Fantastic. Jim, I know there are some things that you're going to need to cover today. This is your agenda. I know there are some things that you need covering today. Typically, on a first meet like this, the kind of questions I get asked are, you know, how does the program operate? How long before people typically see results? What's the kind of investment in time and money that we need to put behind a program like this? They're the typical questions that I get. And Jim, is there anything that is specifically burning in your mind that I haven't mentioned that you want to make sure we cover today?
Okay? No, I think that's great.
Fantastic. But by the way, just as an aside, if there is something you want to have covered that I haven't mentioned, I know that gold just fell in my pocket. Because if you say to me, Carlos, I really want to know about how you work in international market. Well, now I've really now got some gold, because my job in discovery is to learn information, not give information.
Love it.
My discovery call is about me learning about you. So when you add something to that agenda, I know that's important to you.
We've run short on time in this segment. So, Carlos, let's hold this over for the next topic. In our next segment, I'm going to ask Carlos to take us through, now that we've heard the upfront contract, what does it sound like to make no easy to say? And what does it sound like to make no hard to say? Carlos, give your contact information in case there's somebody out here listening to us who's thinking, gee, I'd like to reach out and have a conversation with him.
So I'm Carlos Garrido. My email address is Carlos, C-A-R-L-O-S, .Garrido, G-A-R-R-I-D-O, @Sandler.com. And you can always reach me at that address.
Awesome. And I'm Jim Stevens, your host. We're going to be back with more of Carlos just after this break. Are you tired of losing sales to the lowest bidder, wasting time chasing a think-it-over? Are long sales cycles hurting your bottom line? Join us for the Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp, January 11th, 2017, starting at 9 o'clock a.m. 100% of your clients are on your competitors' prospecting list. Do you have what it takes to keep them? In this program, you're going to learn a selling system that fits what you're currently doing and allows you to build trust and credibility quickly. You'll learn to understand your prospect's motive and decision-making process, and you'll learn a more effective way to talk about money, handling price objections, and helping your clients feel confident that they have hired your firm. For more information, go to crossroads.sandler.com. That's crossroads.sandler.com. Or give us a call at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. January 11th, 2017, 9 o'clock a.m., Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp. Crossroads.sandler.com. Sandler.com to register. We'll see you there. And welcome to Behind the Business. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. This segment of our program, we get to hear the story and meet the people behind local businesses. My guest today is Mike Howard. He's the owner of Great Power Learning, which is a local tutoring company. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Jim.
So do you call it tutoring or you call it?
We call it interactive coaching.
Interactive coaching. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, the thing that strikes me about that is there are some kids that are just hardwired to be hungry for knowledge, and some kids that are hardwired to be lackadaisical towards it. And in my experience, it's really not about hardwiring as much as programming. And I think if you have a child who you want to be a lifelong learner, part of our job as parents is to stimulate that desire. In my personal experience, I had in high school, I had a medical problem that precluded me from being in school for like 6 months. And I had private tutoring, and it really made me, from before, I was really not much of a student. But after that, it really transformed my hunger for learning. So share with our audience, what are some of the things that parent would look for to determine that they might need or benefit from Great Power Learning?
Yeah, a lot of parents come to us. You know, there's some homework struggles that, you know, they're just putting work off to the last minute. Forget it. You know, maybe they're forgetting assignments, missing assignments. You know, these are students that they're great students, but they're just a little disorganized. They don't know how to organize their priorities.
And so one of the symptoms for a parent would be if you find yourself nagging, you might need somebody as a coach to come from the outside and help your child.
That's correct.
And I think if you do find yourself nagging, there's a good chance that you don't know how to help them.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I think that is so often the people don't invest in something because they don't realize A, it's there, or B, that they need it. So share the story of Great Power Learning.
Yeah, Great Power Learning, they take a different approach to learning. It's called the cognitive type of learning. What that is basically teaching kids to learn how to learn. It's not just getting the A's this year, you know, it's not a band-aid solution, really. It's a long-term solution. And when kids feel like they can learn, their confidence in themselves just goes up.
So your coaches meeting one-on-one, how often a week or how long do they meet?
We do hour sessions. Typically, the minimum is an hour session, two times a week. We do up to 2 hours if that's what the parents need. We also can do some homework support, which is an hour and a half session. So what we're focusing on the first hour is just giving them some tools, some strategies. There's remedial issues that we need to work on. Just whatever they really feel like they need to work on, we'll work on that first hour. And then the next half hour is homework support. And we just dive in and show them the strategies that we're using, how you translate those back into school.
So you're really igniting in the child the desire to change.
That's right. Intrinsic is huge.
Yeah. And how much of it involves helping train the parent?
You know, the parent reaches out to us and says, how do we do this? You know, and it's not just that we give them tools to use at home, but it's also giving these students atmosphere to come into where it's more of a personalized, individualized program. Get them away from school, get them away from home, get them into a different environment. And it seems to work really well.
Awesome, awesome. Give your contact information, Mike, in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
Yeah, my contact information, our website is gradepowermeridian.com, and you can contact us 208-608-5061.
We'll be back with more of Mike in the next segment of Behind the Business, but now let's go to the Sandler Training Hour. Join us for the Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp, January 11th. Listen to one of our past attendees.
This is Miles with Gaspar's Construction in Seattle. I had taken Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy. I went to the boot camp expecting it to be Tommy Hopkins, an intense workout, and rah, 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 and found out that it's not that. Instead, I learned some techniques that have never been presented to me before. I'm very excited to be able to go into the field and utilize those new skills. Knowing that I'm being the unsalesman, I will be able to achieve a greater closing rate, not have to worry about closing my customers anymore. They can start closing themselves, which makes my life a lot easier and increases my total earning potential.
To register, call 208-429-9275. That's 208 208-429-9275. Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp, January 11th. 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. And welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. I have as my guest today, Carlos Garrido. Carlos has been sharing with us how to utilize the upfront contract and customize it in a way that fits the unique motivators of each of your buyers. So, Carlos, take us through that upfront contract.
So, as I explained, Jim, I've got a three-step process. It's prospect, discovery meeting, close meeting. And it's very unusual for me to be outside that process. So when I think about the upfront contract I set for my discovery meeting, as I said in the first segment, we want to make the no very easy to say. And we want to make yes very hard to say. Because I only want to work with people who are committed and you know, they've got real issues that they really want to solve. You know, our programs, as you know, Jim, are really designed for very committed people who really want to make changes to their life and their business success. And so I want to disqualify people pretty early. I want them to self-select out. I want to make no really easy for them to say. So my upfront contract for my discovery meeting sounds like this. Jim, really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you today about some of the issues that you're wrestling with in your business. I've still got an hour set aside for this. Are you still good for an hour as we agreed? And yes, you are. Fantastic. Jim, I know there are some things that you need to achieve today that will make this valuable for you. I typically get asked in a first meet like this, I typically get asked questions like, hey, how does your sales training work? How long does it take for effect before some improvements are felt? What the investment is going to look like in terms of time and economic investment? Is there anything you want to add to that list, Jim? And then you get an opportunity to add to your agenda. I'll say, and Jim, there are certainly some things that I need to talk to you about today. I need to fully understand some of the issues and the issues that you're facing in your world of sales. I really want to see your business through your eyes. I really want to understand where you see there are some wins that you need to make in your business. I also need to talk about the economics and the investment in time and money that I require of clients. And I need to have a conversation with you about how you go about making decisions in your organization. And I trust that you're comfortable sharing some of those things with me. And at any point, if you feel that the questions are getting a little bit too close to the bone, and you'll call that out, yeah? Yes, of course you will. Fantastic. And then at the end of this meeting, Jim, if history teaches me anything, it tells us if we're still talking in 45, 50 minutes, it usually means we need to start thinking about what the next steps look like. I promise you that if I don't think I can help you, if I think we're not a good fit, I'll definitely tell you that. And I want you to feel real comfortable telling me that you don't want to take this to the next stage. I don't want to be that guy who's pestering you. And I don't want you to feel uncomfortable just to tell me, hey, this isn't something I want to take forward. I'm really comfortable with you telling me that. Are you going to be comfortable telling me? That's a real easy no. And then I'll say what yes looks like. And then I'll defuse the bomb and I'll ask for referral. That's my upfront contract for discovery. Now we take it forward, because this is what I think got you interested when I made my presentation. How does that sound different for the close meeting? I was struggling with how to make no harder to say for my close meeting. And I stumbled across this through other Sandler elements. I listened to talks from Chris McDonald and from other great trainers. And I started to really understand and own DISC. And even though I didn't put it in my upfront contract, in the discovery phase, I am very conscious to identify my prospects this style. That is the fourth hidden element of discovery. I want to know pain, money, decision, but I also want to figure out your DISC style. And so once I figured out your DISC style, I'll bring that into my upfront contract in my close meeting.
For those listeners who don't understand what DISC style is, give us that 1 minute overview of those four communication styles.
I always think about DISC as it's a language that describes observable human behavior. And we all have inside of us a natural style that we revert to. DISC, I think, is a very powerful tool to try and capture those styles. The DISC stands for D-I-S-N-C. It's an acronym. D means dominant, and that means they're the kind of people who like results They like to make decisions. They are highly decision-oriented. They operate at 30,000 feet. They're looking for results. They're high decision-makers. That's dominant. The I stands for influence, and these are people who are quite gregarious. They like to talk. They're very narrative. They're the life and soul of the party. Great networkers. Very colourful, very flamboyant, lots of fun, and they talk a lot for everyone. They're the I's. The S's, S stands for steady relator, and the S's are typically people who are well connected with their own, with people around them. They have a good sense of community. They organize themselves around low risk, high connectivity. They're good sharers. And the C style, for the final letter, C, is for compliance. Compliance are typically data-driven, process-oriented. They're usually quite quiet. They're very, very keen operators. You know, they work on a lot of data. They're logical. And I would encourage any of your listeners who are not familiar with this, because I just did what should be a one-day program. I did it in 30 seconds there.
Right.
But there is a very natural style that each of us has. I myself am a high D. I score very high on the decision making. I score quite high on influence. I have a sociopathic S score, which means I typically don't care about people around me. I just don't. I shouldn't be let out in public. And I have a low to middling score on D, on process orientation and the sort of the compliance elements of my life. But when I'm in my discovery, I'm trying to identify what the person is opposite me. And I'm trying to figure out, and from things they say, I will get a sense of, is this person driven by D behaviors and approaches? Are they really an I? Do they really like to be gregarious and appreciated? Are they an S, who's very, you know, very much about people around them, a little passive? Or are they C, still task-oriented, but much more passive in their task orientation? And they will say things to me. They'll say things like, you know, I'm really worried about my team. That isn't the kind of thing a D says. That's right. The kind of thing an S says.
Right.
And I have at the top of my note, D, I, S, and C, and they're written out. And when they give me a hook like that, I will start to underline different letters to say, is this guy a D, is this guy an I? You know, who is this person I'm talking to? What my upfront contract sounds like for my close meeting, and it's what it sounds like oriented to different disc styles. But when I stumbled upon this, it was because I blew a very large close meeting that I should have won. And what I realized after the meeting was I presented my close, my solution, in a very D style, which is my natural style, and I presented it to an S buyer. This buyer was more interested in the team, and I presented them a results-driven, high-level, high ROI, very P&L-driven solution, and I completely missed that the guy who was the buyer was more motivated by things I don't understand because I'm a D. He wanted to take risk out for his team. He was worried about his people. And if I'd have figured that out, I'd have completely repositioned what I was going to do with him. And that's what drove it home for me. I blew a close meeting, and I realized that's why I blew it.
Great. Well, we're honored to have you on the show and have you train us through the things you've learned. Give your contact information, Carlos, so if somebody's listening would like to reach out to you, they know how to get you.
Thank you very much, Jim. My name is Carlos Garrido, Sandler Training in Miami. And the best way, I suppose, is an email, which is Carlos, C-A-R-L-O-S, .Garrido, G-A-R-R-I-D-O, @Sandler.com. If anybody's got any questions on this podcast, I'd love to give them some answers.
Terrific. I'm Jim Stevens, your host. The next segment of our program is Entrepreneur Radio. In this segment, we interview local and regional entrepreneurs. We get to hear more about their story, what it is that has helped them achieve success, what are some of the obstacles they've overcome, and through hearing their stories, we get to learn vicariously through their experience. If you know of somebody you think would be a good guest on this segment of the program, please reach out to me. My number is area code 208-429-9275, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275, or I'm available on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back right after this. Are you tired of losing sales to the lowest bidder, wasting time chasing a think-it-over? Are long sales cycles hurting your bottom line? Join us for the Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp, January 11th, 2017, starting at 9 o'clock a.m. 100% of your clients are on your competitor's prospecting list. Do you have what it takes to keep them? In this program, you're going to learn a selling system that fits what you're currently doing and allows you to build trust and credibility quickly. You'll learn to understand your prospect's motive and decision-making process, and you'll learn a more effective way to talk about money, handling price objections, and helping your clients feel confident that they have hired your firm. For more information, go to crossroads.sandler.com. That's crossroads.sandler.com. Or give us a call at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. January 11th, 2017, 9 o'clock a.m., Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp. Crossroads.sandler.com to register. We'll see you there. And welcome to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local businesses. My guest today is Mike Howard. He's the owner of Grade Power Learning. His company provides tutorial services and learning coaches for kids from age. You have a beginning learners program. Give us the overview of the programs you have.
Yeah, our little readers program. That's 3 years old to 6 years old. And this is just a structured program that looks like a preschool program, really. It's a two-hour program. We're focusing on phonics and building those skills for reading.
And is it a one-on-one, or is it multiple kids coming in and one teacher?
Yeah, we have no more than six kids per teacher, so that's our classroom style is six.
So there's enough kids to keep it interesting, but not so many that they don't learn.
That's right, yes.
Personal.
Yeah.
So learning beginning, what other programs?
Our Beyond Tutoring program, that's first through eighth grade. These are kids that are just may have some remedial issues, maybe have some organizational issues that we need to address. Cover all subjects, every grade from first grade all the way up to 12. We also give these kids study skills, study strategies along with their programs.
Very cool. And then you have a program for pre-college and college prep?
That's right. It's important. This is the biggest exam that these kids probably are going to face.
The ACT or the SAT.
But it's also college readiness, getting those kids a little bit more ready for college.
And so what does that look like? Is it one-on-one training there, or do you have multiple kids coming in?
It's been one-on-one training just because they really like that individualized program. We give them a diagnostic test too to figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are, and we can really dive into what would be the most effective areas. We do have group sessions as well where we have eight kids come in and do a classroom style.
And you refer to your folks that do the tutoring as learning coaches?
That's correct.
Yeah, as a business coach, I know the value of providing that feedback to a business owner or manager that allows them to see things from a different perspective. And you can see the light bulbs go off as they begin to realize, oh, that's what I need to do. I'm guessing you get to experience that a lot.
It is awesome. And what we're doing is equipping these kids with strategies of their own. We want the independence when they're done with us. We don't want them to rely on us as a tutor or a coach. We want them to use their own brain. A lot of questions are being asked the whole time. It's like a rope, we call it. We just kind of pulling stuff, information out of them and get them to think on their own.
So they're really learning how to learn.
That's right.
So what makes Grade Power Learning different from the other alternatives that are out there?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jim, because tutoring is just breaking, getting a textbook, opening it up and helping that student getting through that test or that subject. Maybe they might be weak in that subject. Interactive coaching, where we teach these kids to learn the subject, not just
to memorize.
Yes. Right. It's a whole different approach, and it's harder. Do workshops all the time with our teachers to help them stay focused on. We're here giving these kids tools to think on their own, not doing the thinking for them.
So their mission, the coach's mission, is to help activate curiosity.
I call it cognitive approach, and that's kind of a buzzword, if you will, the cognitive approach. And when you really dive deep into that, is just thinking about thinking. We want these kids to be thinking on their own. We still want them to have that intrinsic motivation to still do the work for themselves.
So it's really learning how to learn not only with things you're interested in that hold your interest, but also things that are just a requirement for education. Give your contact information, Mike, so somebody can reach out to you.
Yeah, our website is gradepowermeridian.com, and our phone number is 208-608-5061.
Mike Howard, Grade Power Learning. We'll be back with one more segment of Mike. Now back to Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be back just after this. Join us for the Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp, January 11th. Listen to one of our past attendees.
This is Miles with Gaspar's Construction in Seattle. I had taken Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy. I went to the boot camp expecting it to be Tommy Hopkins, an intense workout, and rah, 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 and found out that it's not that. Instead, I learned some techniques that have never been presented to me before. I'm very excited to be able to go into the field and utilize those new skills, knowing that I'm being the unsalesman, I will be able to achieve a greater closing rate, not have to worry about closing my customers anymore. They can start closing themselves, which makes my life a lot easier and increases my total earning potential.
To register, call 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp, January 11th. 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. Each week I bring you area and regional entrepreneurs. You get to hear their story and find out about their business. What I love about this program is we get to learn techniques and strategies from people who have been there and done that. And today I have as my guest Beverly Williamson. She's the Director of Marketing and Sales for a local vineyard, Williamson's Orchard and Vineyards. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm delighted to have you on the show. Now, you're a fourth generation.
That is correct. Yes. We keep it in the family.
Wow, that is awesome. So tell us, I'd like to hear, what is it like growing up on an orchard? And then how did you get into the family business?
So it's a lot of fun growing up in an orchard. My brother and my younger sister and I played spies in the packing shed and a lot of Star Wars games out in the orchard. So that was good. But we also started working at a pretty early age. My first job was folding boxes for a penny a box.
All right. So you were paid on commission.
Yes, yes, from a very early age. And I think it was about 8. I think I lasted about an hour.
Oh, 1 hour. Huh? You didn't like, you're going to starve to death on your commission.
I know.
So at what point did you decide, Beverly, that you wanted to be a part of the family business?
First, I didn't. I went to school thinking that I'm going to get a degree in design and visual communications, and I'm not going back. I did work in the, as I call it, the real world for about a year, and I really missed the family dynamic. Get to set my schedule mostly,
yeah,
and I get to see my family every day. I don't think people get to say that.
Yeah, people who have never owned their own business or been in a family business think, you must live in the lap of luxury. You get to set your own hours, and I think that's absolutely true. Any 90 hours a week you want to work,
exactly,
you get to work.
Right?
It really is the American dream. As a father who has two of his sons in business with me, I think we do have this romance about bringing our families into business with us. And I wondered raising my kids if I didn't ruin them on it, because we always talk business. So tell me about your upbringing in the family business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was regular discussion at the dinner table. My mom and dad would talk about things that they did that day, because they also both worked on the farm. That was another unusual thing growing up, that my parents worked together, and so I got to see their dynamic. I'm super impressed with them. They did a fantastic job. But we discussed what was going on in the orchards when the vineyard went in. We discussed a lot about why we were changing things up at that time. There was always a lot of education. My mom and dad were really good about explaining why we were doing things. So
really?
I got a lot of on-job training about, and some of it's the really technical stuff where you're talking about, okay, the trees at this point of the cycle during the year, and this is why we're doing this to the tree.
Yeah.
Same with the vines in the vineyard. So we learned a lot that way. I was in the sales with my mom a little bit more. We had for years and years, we had an open-air fruit market where we would sell a lot of produce out of that. My mom always needed an additional hand there to help with all the customers. And so early on, I kind of, through watching how she interacted with customers, learned what it meant to have good customer service. That's huge.
It
was always a very big deal with my mom. She said, okay, these people are driving 45 minutes from downtown Boise or something to come out to this little farm out next to the Sunny Slope River, next in the Sunny Slope Valley, next to the Snake River. You have to make them say, why not drive that far? Like, it's worth it to go that far.
So yeah, and make it a family pilgrimage.
Right.
Get it so they come back.
Right. And so you have to go above and beyond what you could do at because they can go to a grocery store and buy fruit or buy wine. You want them to come to your place to make it worth their trip.
Well, as a customer, I can say that you have made it a family tradition for us. We first came in your, you used to have your tasting room in a in your barn, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you've since moved to a new location. So share with our listeners about your location and how they'd come see you.
Like I said earlier, we recently changed our business. So we do still have orchards, and we definitely have lots of vineyards, but we no longer have the produce stand anymore. And part of that went with when we moved out of the old barn, where the tasting room was. The old tasting room was like 600 square feet. It was tiny.
Mm.
So we just recently, October of this year, moved into a new tasting room and warehouse because we need more space to move, and we saw the need for more events, and that requires more space for that too.
So events, you're able to host events? Talk to us about that.
Well, we just had one just this last weekend. It was the Thanksgiving Barrel Tasting Weekend that we do every year. People get to come out, and they get to try wine straight from the barrel, and then they can kind of compare it against an older vintage that's already in the bottle, and they can kind of experience some of the winemaking process. You know, in addition to that, we always have fun things like, oh, this year we had the Encore Theater Carolers come out and sing to the group, which was kind of fun.
That's cool.
And we have a soup contest now. It's become an annual thing because we used to kind of tease each other, oh, my soup is better than your soup, and oh, no, my soup is better than your soup. And so now we actually make the customers vote on the soup.
On
Yeah.
Do you win?
No, I lost.
Oh.
No, I had an employee. Her soup won. It was delicious. I had a wine club member win. Her soup was very good.
Wow.
But mine, I think I came in dead last.
All right. Well, somebody has to be last.
Right.
So can a company, if they wanted to have you do a private event, do you do those kind of things?
We aren't set up just yet. We're hoping by April, if we wanted to have private events, we can do
that.
That's
terrific.
We're going to be adding some event space, and just the remodeling process isn't done, and hopefully by April it will be.
So tell us a little bit about the transition period in moving from daughter to business partner. How's that work?
It's been a really long process. My parents had the luxury of training us early on, so we did all the horrible, grubby jobs when we were young and slowly earned a little bit more and more responsibility over the years. And then
you paid your dues.
Yes, they made sure that we were freeloaders, which I'm appreciative of that now.
Right.
At that time, I maybe wasn't.
Yeah.
But we did, when I say we, I'm talking about my older brother, Michael Williamson, and my cousin, Patrick Williamson. Us three are now managing the farm, and the official handover happened in about 2012. It was by that time when the parents had both stepped down, we were already doing a lot of the heavy lifting as far as it came to managing sales and dealing with what was happening out in the vineyard. So it wasn't too bad. I was very appreciative that my parents were good about always being available to come and ask advice, like, how did you do this? What would you do in this situation? Always available for that. But they pretty much stepped back and said, okay, this is yours. If you need me, I'm here, but otherwise, you got to do it.
Really?
Yeah, so that was, it's scary, but it was also very rewarding.
In my role as a business consultant, I've helped many families transition from the founding generation to the next generation, and usually the most difficult part is getting mom and dad to step back.
Oh, I agree. And my grandfather was a lovely person. He was very, very smart and expanded the business quite a bit when he was managing it. But he did have a hard time letting go, and my dad and my uncle would comment on that, and I think that's why we see that generation, my parents' generation, being a little bit more standoffish, because they're trying to learn from what they saw their dad do.
Awesome. So you owe your granddad a great debt of gratitude for being a pain in the rear.
Yes.
That is just so funny. Well, give your contact information in case somebody would like to go out and meet you personally, Bev, and enjoy some of your hard work.
Wonderful. So we are located on Highway 55. Our address is 14807 Sunny Slope Road, and you can reach us by phone at 208-459-7333, or you can check us out online, and it's williamson.wine.
And as you're on Highway 55, you crest the hill and start dropping down.
Right. And then we're about 3 miles after that big curve, and we're right next to the Orchard House Restaurant.
Awesome. Great. Well, hopefully some of our listeners will reach out. Hey, if you do go visit Beverly and her family, let them know that you heard them on the radio. I'd appreciate that.
Hey, maybe we could wave a tasting fee or something for you.
All right. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. Okay. We'll be back with a little more of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. Are you tired of losing sales to the lowest bidder, wasting time chasing facing a think it over? Are long sales cycles hurting your bottom line? Join us for the Sandler Sales One Day Boot Camp, January 11th, 2017, starting at 9 o'clock a.m. 100% of your clients are on your competitors' prospecting list. Do you have what it takes to keep them? In this program, you're going to learn a selling system that fits what you're currently doing and allows you to build trust and credibility quickly. You'll learn to understand your prospect's motive and decision-making process, and you'll learn a more effective way to talk about money, handling price objections, and helping your clients feel confident that they have hired your firm. For more information, go to crossroads.sandler.com. That's crossroads.sandler.com. Or give us a call at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. January 11th, 2017, 9 o'clock a.m., Sandler Sales One Day Boot Camp. Crossroads.sandler.com to register. We'll see you there. And welcome to the final segment of Behind the Business. We get to meet the people and hear the stories behind local businesses. My guest today is Mike Howard. He's the owner of Grade Power Learning. Really interesting business. He provides learning coaches for students from 3 years old to 18, 19, prepping for college. So my kids were homeschooled for most of their education. When they got to high school, we put them in the public school, and they thrived there too. One thing I learned, as I contrast how I was brought up compared to my kids, my wife is a reader. Every one of my kids are readers. Share what your organization does to set the course in children to become those lifelong learners.
I'm seeing that as well with my child, where I get that love of reading right at that 4 years old, five right. years old. I think that's where it starts. That's a huge indicator of school success is their grasp of oral language. And kids, if they understand our language, we don't always think of our language as the way we think, but we think of it as communicating, but it's also the way we think. And if we understand our language and our grasp of how we think, you know, it really translates into how we think better.
Coaches do to help stimulate that passion for learning in the kids that you help?
To answer that question as well, because it's really, we cannot motivate our kids to want to do work. You know, it's got to be inside them and to really ignite that passion. And so we really celebrate a lot with victories. And you also have to have that mentality when the kid is young to not be afraid to fail as well.
I had several tutors in my life growing up, and in every instance, they were able to break through my callousness or boredom and help me see something that was really interesting to me. So I'm guessing part of what you do is you learn how to read your students and connect to them on their level. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it all comes down to making it matter for them.
And how do you do that?
You know, we start off with really just finding out the interests of this student is. You know, what are they interested in? You know, what makes them tick? It's a lot of what we find in our assessment is, you know, what's their strengths? And obviously we look at what their weaknesses as well, but we can really tailor our programs into focusing on, you know, how the student learns best.
And you said assessments. Does it start with a specific assessment, or is that just a conversation?
No, it starts with a conversation, and then from there we find, you know, if it looks like we're going to be a good fit for that parent and student, we move right into our assessment, and the assessment really will tell us two things: how they're learning and what kind of learning style they are, and then also will give us an academic picture of what they are. So it's really a holistic approach of the student.
And is that an assessment they take online, or is it one of your coaches asking questions?
Yeah, it's one of our education director and me. We're certified to do these assessments through a third-party company. So yeah, it's a cognitive profile we're looking at, what kind of a learner they are, how they're concentrating, problem solving, what their grasp of oral language is. We also look at if they're a visual or auditory learner.
And is that something that consumer can have you do initially as a standalone to see if they want to be enrolled in a tutoring program?
Yeah, that's an option.
So give your contact information, Mike.
Yeah, it's gradepowermeridian.com, and our phone number is 208-608-5061.
They're able to help you take your child to a place where they're hungry and lifetime learners. Thanks, Mike, for being on the program.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll be back just after this. Join us for the Sandler Sales One Day Boot Camp, January 11th. Listen to one of our past attendees.
This is Miles with Gaspar's Construction in Seattle. I had taken Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy. I went to the boot camp expecting it to be Tommy Hopkins, an intense workout, and rah, 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 and found out that it's not that. Instead, I learned some techniques that have never been presented to me before. I'm very excited to be able to go into the field and utilize those new skills, knowing that I'm being the unsalesman. I will be able to achieve a greater closing rate, not have to worry about closing my customers anymore. They can start closing themselves, which makes my life a lot easier and increases my total earning potential.
To register, call 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Sandler Sales 1-Day Boot Camp, January 11th. 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Have you experienced sharing your expertise in hopes of selling someone on your firm, only to realize that you've been doing unpaid consulting? Buyers have a very sophisticated system for getting information. You need an even more sophisticated system to grow your business.
I have faith in the Sandler system. Sometimes it seems counter to what my instincts would tell me to do. I go out there, I try it, and it works.
That's Bethany Brediger with Sonatrol Pacific. She leveraged hard work and the Sandler training system to change her career.
Income would be the most tangible result. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled. I have more than doubled my income. Pretty drastic results, I would say.
Stop unpaid consulting now. Sandler training is not a quick fix. It's long-term reinforcement for professional development. Call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. My guest today is Carlos Garrido.
Thanks very much, Jim. So I took you through what the upfront contract sounds like for discovery meetings. And that's a typical Sandler upfront contract that seeks to take both parties to a decision at the end of the meeting. And that decision is based on, from my side, is this person qualified, paying budget decision? From their side, do they feel like they're with somebody who can make a difference in their life? Have I managed to make them think about the world differently? And assuming that I have, and that this is somebody that I feel I can help, and the economics of work, then I'm going to take them to a closed meeting, and I'll set an upfront contract at the end of discovery for a closed meeting. And then I'll sit down in my closed meeting, and I'll lay a very slightly but very powerfully changed upfront contract in front of them, remembering that in the discovery meeting, I have also identified the prospect's disc style. When I do change my upfront contract, I tailor it to the disc style, and so I'm going to have to do this four times because there are four disc styles. Two subtle changes I make are I frame the whole closed meeting towards what I believe is the ego filter, which is like the big aspiration of the business owner or the team leader. And then when I position the no, I'm going to position the no versus the prospect's biggest fear, because each disc style has a biggest fear. I'll bring it to life for you if I think about the one that makes most sense to me, because I am a D, I'm a high D. Because I am a high D, the D makes the most sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sit down for a closed meeting with another D, here's what it'll sound like, my upfront contract. It'll say, hey, George, thanks so much for inviting me back to talk to you about. Really, I feel this meeting's about taking the company to the next level. Now, building a business of real significance. I've still got an hour set aside, and that's what I do there. When I say the thank you, I'll put in the ego filter, which is build a business of real significance. That is the ego filter of D's. D's want to leave a business of significance behind them. And then I confirm the time. And then I will then go through the rest of my upfront contract, and then I get to the no. Position the no. And I position the no versus the disc style's biggest fear. A D's biggest fear is loss of control. I will say, from my point of view, as long as I get clarity on the next steps, I'm good. Because if I'm sat in the closed meeting, I've already qualified. So now it's not for me to say no, for the prospect to say no.
Mm.
And I'll say, from my point of view, as long as I have clarity on the next steps, I'm pretty good. And that could be that we don't go any further. It might be that you decide that you don't need to get control over your top line, and I don't want you to be uncomfortable telling me that. And what I did there was Mr. D, if you don't want control over your top line, then you tell me and I'll get out of your hair. And I've positioned the no now, but that's what I was after. How do I make no hard for the guy to say, or the lady to say? I position it versus the biggest fear. I'll do it again just so you get it. Hey, George, thanks for inviting me in. Talks about how we're going to take this company to the next level, build a business of real significance. Going to be here for about an hour. I want to make sure you completely understand the program that I'm suggesting. I know that's your main objective today, unless something changed. From my point of view, as long as we have clarity on the next steps, I'm good after today's meeting. And it could be the next step is we don't go any further. It might be that you decide you don't need to take control of your top line, and I don't want you to be uncomfortable telling me that. But if we do take things forward, here's what's going to happen, and we're off to the races. That's a D.
Right.
D makes sense to me.
Right.
And I see when I'm sat in front of a D and I say build a business of real significance, I see them sit up a little straighter.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say, hey, listen, it might be that you decide you know this isn't a part of your business you need to get control of. And when I use the word control, I see the look in the eye. And for a D, loss of control is the biggest fear. And what I'm really saying there is, if you lose me, you lose the ability to control your top line. And it's the control that's the magic word, and significance that's the magic word.
Terrific.
That's for a D. Now, if I'm stood in front of an I, which is an influencer disc style, I'll say to them something different. I'll say, hey, George, thanks so much for inviting me in to talk to you about taking your company to the next level. You know, building a business that's sort of renowned for excellence in your market. You know, the business that kind of attracts the best customers and the best staff. The ego filter of an I is being appreciated, being renowned. And that's how I position the meeting. And they get that. But then I come to position the no, and rejection is the biggest fear of an I. So I'll say, it could be that we decide not to take this any further. It might be that you decide you've got other priorities more important than addressing the market rejections that you get at the moment, and I don't want to be you to be uncomfortable telling me that. So I'm making the no harder to say for an I by saying, if you say no, you're going to live with more rejection. So then take it to the next one, the S's. What does it look like from an S? Well, the ego filter of an S is being connected to the people around them, the customers, the company. So I want to position the meeting versus being connected. And I want to position the no around risk, because the biggest fear of an F is risk. So I'll say, hey, George, thanks for inviting me in to talk to you about taking your company to the next level. You know, really connecting the goals of your company with the goals of your team and really connecting your company to its marketplace. So that's the beginning bit, okay? That's connection. Now let's position the no. And it could be, George, that we decide not to take this any further. It could be that you decide you don't need to take the risks and volatility out of your top line, that you've got other priorities to work on, and I don't want you to be uncomfortable telling me that. What I'm saying there is, George, if you say no today, you're going to have risks that you don't want, and I'm making no harder to say. If I take this now to a C, well, the C's sort of ego filter there, their big ambition is process, procedure, replicable, logical. I'm going to position that I'm going to bring them that. Biggest fear of a C is making a mistake. It's what they really try and avoid. And so I'm going to position my no versus that, and here's what it could sound like. Hey, George, thanks so much for inviting me in today to talk to you about taking your company to the next level. You know, Bill, I kind of think of it like building a business with strong processes and procedures that drive replicable results. So that's the beginning bit. When I go for positioning the no, I'll say, you know, and it could be that we decide not to take this any further. It could be that you decide that you're going to figure this part of the business out on your own. You know, you might make mistakes, but you're going to figure those out too. And I don't want you to be uncomfortable telling me that. So that's it. That's how I position my ultimate contract. My upfront contract for the closed meeting positions the whole meeting versus the disc style ego filter, and positions no versus the prospect's biggest fear. And I figured out in the discovery meeting what that disc style is. And I have to say that I started implementing this maybe 3 months ago, and I am now running at 10 for 10 on this.
Wow.
In terms of getting to a close.
So it's made a significant difference in increasing your probability of closing.
Absolutely.
Without that, what was the ratio?
I would say I was getting, at close, I was probably getting around.
And is that because you've disqualified them more, or you're just doing a better job of closing?
No, I'm just doing a better job of closing. Because if I get to a close meeting, it's because I've qualified.
Yeah, so it should close.
Yeah, it should close. But, you know, and if you use Sandler perfectly, and I'm just not that good, Jim. I'm just not good enough.
Yeah, right?
If I was better at qualifying, maybe if I I qualified more, maybe if I was a harder qualifier, but you've got to recognize that, you know, we are typically a high investment solution for somebody that wants to make big changes in their company,
right,
or in their success.
Right.
And when I say high investment, I'm not just talking about economics. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about the investment of political capital if it's a big corporate and they've got to go and upsell us into a corporation.
Right.
That's a big investment of political capital. There's a big economic investment, and there's a big investment of time and energy and comfort. And we are high investment solution. You know, I think it's hard for people to buy what we sell because we require so much of our clients.
Right.
But then for those that do make that big decision that I'm going to make those big investments, when they do, the return is extraordinary. We both know that. We've been doing it for long enough to know that those returns are extraordinary.
Awesome information. Thank you so much, Carlos, for being a part of this show today. You have really delivered a home run for us. Give the listeners your contact information in case somebody'd like to reach out to you.
Sure. Thank you very much, Jim, and thanks for inviting me onto the show. My contact information, I'm based down in Miami in South Florida. My email address is Carlos, Carlos, Garrido, Garrido, @Sandler.com. And there's always my cell phone as well, 786-547-9610. Thanks, Jim.
Awesome, Carlos. Thank you for being a guest today. And listeners, we really appreciate you tuning into our show and spending part of your weekend with us. If there's any topic that you would like to hear us cover in more detail, please reach me at area code 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Have a great weekend. If you measure it, you'll manage it.
Are you tired of losing sales to the lowest bidder, wasting time chasing a think-it-over? Are long sales cycles hurting your bottom line? Join us for the Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp, January 11th, 2017, starting at 9 o'clock a.m. 100% of your clients are on your competitor's prospecting list. Do you have what it takes to keep them? In this program, you're going to learn a selling system that fits what you're currently doing and allows you to build trust and credibility quickly. You'll learn to understand your prospect's motive and decision-making process, and you'll learn a more effective way to talk about money, handling price objections, and helping your clients feel confident that they have hired your firm. For more information, go to crossroads.sandler.com. That's crossroads.sandler.com. Or give us a call at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. January 11th, 2017. 9 o'clock a.m. Sandler Sales One-Day Boot Camp. Crossroads.sandler.com to register. We'll see you there.